Welcome to Hope's Garden and the Bridegroom Speaks podcast with Laura Ercolino.
The next topic is very interesting, really. We pass by it, but we don't give it attention normally because we want something, we think it's more concrete. We think this is more like a poem, but it's not. It's a love between God and the church, who are all of us, between God and humanity. Let's hear more. Let's learn more, because now we have a specialist who will tell us more about that. But before that, let's welcome her with a big cheer from the United States of America, Mrs. Laura Ercolino. Good morning to you, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Mrs. Laura. And first of all, tell us briefly about yourself.
I live in the Cleveland, Ohio area. I'm a parishioner at Saints Cosmas and Damian Parish. I've been Catholic all my life. I raised 9 children. I now have 9 grandchildren, the joy of life. 4 years ago, I began a ministry called Hope's Garden that is founded on the spirituality of Christ the Bridegroom and the Song of Songs. And so I spend my days teaching women, especially women who have or are experiencing the trauma of spousal abuse, about the true and pure love of Christ the Bridegroom.
The question that stands for itself right now, and I have to ask you this question, what made you interested in studying this poem that seems very hard for people? They read it, they read love, a love exchange between lovers, but they don't understand the true meaning of it. Why were you interested in this beautiful poem of Song of the Songs?
Well, honestly, the Lord had to drag me kicking and screaming into being interested in the Song of Songs. It was Jesus himself who inspired that desire in me after years of saying that I would never read the Song of Songs, that the Song of Songs just pierced my heart with longing and sorrow because the love in my marriage was nothing, didn't even come in the same room as the love in the Song of Songs. And so for many years, I thought, I knew it resonated with my heart that there was something very true and good in this, that this was the love that God had intended for us. But I thought for some reason, God just didn't want me to know this love. And then as I read the teachings of St. John Paul II in Theology of the Body and Love and Responsibility, I was even more convinced that this is truly, there is something here in this poem. This is God's love. But I still, because of my own woundedness, I was like, no, can't go there, can't go there, can't go there. And then in 2018, after my divorce, and the Lord really just immersed me in the healing process. And as he began to heal me, he really began to allow me to have encounters with him and his love that showed me that his love is not comparable to anything else that we have experienced here on earth, that he is truly the bridegroom of our souls. And it is his love that all other loves are meant to be an image of. And so we need to come to know, I think often of St. John saying that we love because he first loved us. And I think about it now, well, it's his love that I want to bring into the world, right? On a note leading to the theology of Christmas, how I've come to understand it is that our hearts can be like Mother Mary's womb. And we need our hearts to be pure and detached, emptied, so that the bridegroom can come and love us and we can receive his love in the womb of our hearts and then give birth to him, incarnate his love again through our own lives. And so as I came to understand all this, I was drawn more and more into wanting to understand, okay, what is God really speaking to us in this veiled language of the Song of Songs? And so, of course, I turned first of all to St. Bernard of Clairvaux to help me to understand.
The next question is, can you tell us a little bit about the Song of the Songs and make us enter in this beautiful poem? And why do you believe it's important for our time? Why do we have to right now get ourselves in this poem that's written centuries or thousands of years back? Why do we have to study it today? Why is it important today in 2024? We're Friday the 13th of December. Less than 2 weeks separate us from celebrating Christmas this year. Why do you think Song of the Songs is very important for us?
Oh, okay. I have a lot of reasons why I think the Song of Songs is important to us that go beyond just the celebration of Christmas. I think number one, you know, it's funny when I started telling people that I wanted to share the Song of Songs with them, I got a lot of very differing reactions. One that I was very surprised about was people would say, oh no, when I was in youth groups, they told us not to read the Song of Songs. And I was like, but wait a minute, it's scripture. It is scripture. That's the number one reason. It is the word of God. The number one reason why we can't ignore it is because it is the word of God. It is in the canon of scripture. It is right in the middle of the Bible. And if we think about scriptures, the scriptures begin with the wedding in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, and they take us all the way through salvation history to the ending. The climax is a wedding, the wedding feast of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Right in the middle of our Bibles is the Song of Songs. And it is in the Song of Songs, I believe, that God makes this very personal, intimate marriage proposal to every soul. And it is the beautiful bridge between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is the bride's longing for the fulfillment of the promise of the prophets, that all through the Old Testament, the prophets tell us that God is going to send, he's going to come as the Messiah, as one like us in our humanity, a baby. And so this longing that went on, if you think about generations and generations of Israelites longing for the coming Messiah, and right there, the song opens with a line that throws so many people at first. And so I hope that my sharing what I've come to understand is the meaning of that line will help people to see it's safe to enter into the Song of Songs. The very first line the bride speaks is, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And so when we think of this as the ardent desire, the cry of the heart of the people of God, crying out for God no longer to be distant, but to be close enough to kiss us, that he would be one with us, that he would come and dwell on the earth with us. This is the meaning of that line. And so the Song of Songs really is the bride's ardent desire expressed from her heart for her God, and then God's response to her. It is God's response as the divine bridegroom. And he tells us all through scripture that this is the relationship that he desires with us, the relationship that he entered into with his people on Mount Sinai, that it was a nuptial covenant that was made between him and his people, that he loves us as a spouse. And again, all through the prophets, we see that as the people of God, we wander away. We are the unfaithful spouse who commits spiritual adultery with all kinds of idols. And I think this is a time, you know, you were speaking in the last interview also about gifts and consumerism. And this is another reason why I think diving into the Song of Songs and praying with this during Advent and Christmas can be beautiful and healing and purifying, because it helps us to see that Christ is the gift we long for. He is the fulfillment of all our desires. And so this was the longing through the prophets, was that he would come. And is that our longing? Is that what our focus is during Advent and the Christmas season? Are we longing and desiring for Christ more than gifts, more than decorations, more than a white Christmas, whatever it is? Are we longing for him? Do we understand, as the bride of the song comes to understand, that there is nothing? At the very beginning of the song, she says she's tired of wandering after his companions, other flocks. She wants to know where he rests his flock at noon, because she knows now that only Christ, only Jesus, the good shepherd, the king, and the true bridegroom is going to satisfy this emptiness within her, this longing that she has.
Laura, I know you have a lot to say, but from what you said before I translate, something came to my head, something rang in my thoughts and brought me back to something that I like so much, the philosophy, to philosophize, to speak, to use the philosophy in that sense. I don't know, but I think human beings are directed towards an end and an ultimate end unintentionally they are attracted by God. But mm-hmm. the key right there, how to respond to this vocation and call of God to us. Because from what you were saying, that humanity is longing to kiss the bridegroom, to have this unity with him, to have him as king of their hearts. But this comes unintentionally. In other words, this comes naturally in the essence and the presence of a human on earth to have this longing towards this ultimate end, that is the unity with God. Do you agree with me, or you have an explanation for that?
Yes, I totally agree with you. And I believe it comes from the fact that in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God created us in his image and likeness. Correct. And so whether we want to believe it or not, it doesn't matter. This is the truth. This is the reality, that we were created by God in love for love. And it's written into our very beings that we desire this communion, that we desire, you know, people talk about, well, I need to find my other half, my soulmate. And I've really come to understand in all that I've gone through in my own personal relationships and then coming to know the bridegroom, Jesus, that he's our soulmate. He's our other half that we were created for. And, you know, as St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless till they rest in you. Right. There's really no one else who can fulfill us as he can, because we were made for him.
Laura, with this interesting topic, as we prepare for Christmas and Theology of Christmas in this episode of Live with Jesus on Friday 13, 2024, why and what is the connection between the Song of Songs and the Annunciation to Mary and the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ?
So as we started talking about a little bit earlier here, the Song of Songs is the bridge between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Yeah. And in the Song of Songs, if it's okay, if I just give a little background for those who maybe haven't read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Song of Songs is really a dialogue between the character of the bride and the character of the bridegroom. And there are differing interpretations of the Song of Songs. So some people will say that the bride, so if you read, for instance, the Jewish rabbis' interpretations of the Song of Songs, they will say that the bride is Israel and the bridegroom is God. When we get into the early Christian, like the early church fathers and the mystics, they'll talk about it as that the bride is the church and the bridegroom is Jesus Christ, or the bride is the individual soul, because as members of the church, you know, we've probably all heard the church called the Bride of Christ. As members of the Bride of Christ, every baptized soul, male or female, is considered a bride of Christ, and the bridegroom being Jesus always. Another interpretation, which is a very beautiful one for Advent, is the bride is Mother Mary. And so if we think about drawing into the Song of Songs during Advent and focusing on the coming of Christ, and if we think about Mary as the bride, then we can look at verses such as the first one that I mentioned, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Mother Mary certainly knew the prophets. She certainly knew that God had promised the Messiah would come, right? And this must have been an ardent desire of her own heart. And I can see her as the bride crying out, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Ah, why are you not my brother nursed at my mother's breast? Why are you God, not one with me, one like me? Why do we not have a common family, a common story, a common history, a common home? When will you come?" Bernard of Clairvaux has this great passage in sermon number 2 on the Song of Songs, where he speaks about the song from this perspective of Christmas. And he says, you know, in all the longing of the bride, all the longing of the patriarchs and the faithful Jewish people, we can hear them saying, "No more, no more do I want to just hear about you. I want you. I want you now and immediately." And now that we know that Christ has come for us, the Christian soul in Advent, we can be praying with the bride of the Song of Songs, saying, "Come and kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. I need no more to read about you, to hear about you, to hear others speak of you. I need to hear your voice and see your face myself." This needs to be our longing. And Advent is a beautiful season to once again remember that he's the one whom we long for. And yes, it's a season to think back to that first Christmas, to the moment of the incarnation and annunciation and the nativity, but it's also a time to remember that he's promised that he's coming back as the bridegroom to take his bride home to the Father's house. And so we need to make sure that like I think of the 10 virgins with the oil in their lamps, and our oil is that desire. Is that desire burning in us all the time? Are we desiring the coming of the bridegroom for him to come again and take us out of this land of exile and bring us home? That we do know now that God came as our brother, and that in Christ, we have a common family, a common home, a common inheritance, that his glory is meant for us too. And is this our longing during Advent and Christmas?
Beautiful. It's something impressive, really, how you put it, the Song of Songs, in comparison with the Advent season and awaiting the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's really impressive. It's getting us more and more attracted to the Advent season. We're going to ask you right now another question that everybody would ask. It's a clear question. A poem usually helps us to pray. But if we talk about Song of the Songs, how can we pray with Song of the Songs during the Advent season?
So I did think about that question ahead of time, and I pulled out a couple of verses that I'd like to go through, actually more than a couple, that I'd like to go through and share, and how I've made them my prayer during Advent and beyond. And so we were talking about the Song of Songs as a dialogue between the bride and the bridegroom. And if we think about this relationship with God, that it is actually a conversation of desire. That it all began with God's desire, that he desired us. So he desires us. The bride then responds to his desire with her own desire. And this is what runs through the Song of Songs. If we want to first pray as the bride in our longing for the coming of Christ, some verses that stand out to me are, of course, the one that I've already mentioned several times, the very beginning of the Song of Songs, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And so this verse is, when I teach a course on the Song of Songs, and the very first time I taught it, the women I was teaching it to did not want to move on from this verse. We spent 3 weeks just on this verse, and there was still more. And I was like, "All right, ladies, there is more to the song. Like, really, I promise you're going to enjoy the rest just as much. We need to move on." But for instance, let me just give you a couple interpretations that will help your personal prayer with this line. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." During the Advent and Christmas season, as we've said, this is that ardent longing that we have to be one with Christ, to know Christ, to be close to Christ, to hear his voice, to see his face. And in the incarnation, in the moment of the nativity, God gave us that gift of seeing his face as the baby Jesus. Jesus came to make the heart of God visible to us, right? So on one level, this ardent longing of the bride in the Song of Songs was fulfilled in Christmas. And Mother Mary was the first bride to behold the face of God, to kiss the bridegroom. For us, in this time where we're waiting, we're in this tension of the now and not yet. So we know Christ is incarnate. We know Christ. And yet we do not have the fulfillment of that promise to be one with him and see him face to face. So we live in this tension of now and not yet. And so this verse is perfect for praying into that tension as well, because we've seen Christ. And in the Eucharist, the bridegroom literally kisses us with the kisses of his mouth. When we receive the Eucharist, when the body and blood of Christ is laid on our tongues, he kisses us and we respond with our amen. Yes, it is so. Yes, I desire you and I receive you with love into my heart. And so in a sense, the Eucharist becomes this kiss of the bride and the bridegroom. That is something that I find is very rich prayer, to ponder that as my meditation before Mass. Is my heart in this place? Is that what's first on my mind as I go to Mass? This longing for the kiss of the bridegroom. Do I understand that's what I'm receiving in the Eucharist? The other verse that is beautiful to pray with, in particular during Advent, is verse 5:2. I sleep, but my heart is awake. And again, this to me takes me back to the parable of the 10 virgins who slept. They all slept, but some of them, their hearts were also asleep, right? They didn't have enough oil. They didn't have enough love and desire for the bridegroom burning in their hearts to keep their hearts awake and waiting for him. Is my heart awake in this season of Advent as I am awaiting the coming of the bridegroom again? Is my heart awake no matter what I'm doing, even when I'm asleep? Is my heart longing for him? And the other one that then leads us into the bridegroom's response is verse 7:11. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. I find this is really hard for a lot of people, that we tend to understand in our heads, yes, God loves me. You know, Jesus loves me. We're taught that as small children. But do we really understand that God desires us? He desires us so much that he sent his only beloved son to be born as a helpless babe for us. That he loves and desires you, you personally, not just you as a part of this big group of people that he loves, but he knows and he loves you. And he sent his son for you. And when I think of that line, 7:11, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. The bridegroom's response is in verse 6:11. And he says, I went down to the nut orchard to see what was sprouting in the valley, to see if the vines were budding and the pomegranate trees in flower. Before I knew, my desire had hurled me on the chariots of my people as their prince. And I can just imagine the Holy Trinity up in heaven looking down at the mess we've made down here, looking down at our sorrow and our grief, our longing and our crying out as the bride, please come and rescue me. Please come and save me. And Jesus's heart, so full of love and compassion. So often we hear in the scriptures that he looked at them and his heart was moved with compassion or pity. And so he looks down and he says, Father, I have to go down there. Like before he knew, his desire hurled him down into the mud of Bethlehem, into the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
There's a lot of information. Beautiful, beautiful. Very impressive, really, the way you put things. And this question that I ask you, how do we pray with the Song of the Songs during Advent season? And really was impressive, the answer. We're going to continue with you. I don't know if you have anything to add on this Song of the Songs praying before I move to the next segment.
So we were talking about the bride's desire and this being a conversation of desire between the bride, the people, and God. I'd like to add a couple of verses for us to ponder as we think about God's desire for us and how the bridegroom Jesus has responded and continues to respond to our desire. One of the most beautiful passages in the Song of Songs that I think most people are probably somehow familiar with is in chapter 2, beginning with verse 2:10, where after the bride says, I see my beloved, see how he comes leaping on the mountains. Then the bridegroom responds and he says, come then, my love, come, for see, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The season of glad songs has come. The cooing of the turtle dove is heard in our land. And again, everything in the Song of Songs, it has so many layers of meaning. But since we're speaking about Advent and Christmas and the coming of Christ, if we look at these lines, we can see, we can imagine Jesus saying this to us as he comes and is born here on our earth. Now, our land becomes his land too. And he says, our land. And now the winter has passed. The winter of exile is over and gone for the people of Israel, for the bride of Christ, because her bridegroom has come. So these are beautiful lines to really sit with in prayer and ponder during Advent. Do I live my life already, like rooted in this truth that my exile is over, that my bridegroom has come, that the winter is past? I often say to the women who take the Song of Songs course that in the heart that loves the bridegroom, there's an eternal, perpetual springtime. That these verses are true. They can be true in our hearts if we commit, if we're devoted to and dedicated to living rooted in his love interiorly. Then no matter what storms blow around us, there's a springtime in our hearts because the bridegroom is incarnate there.
Well, time is coming to an end. We have 10 minutes to go. We can stay the whole day talking about Song of the Songs and with you. It's very interesting. But time is going to be concluded soon. Let's leave some time for another question. Hopefully we'll have you in the future on other episodes because it's very rich going in depth with this beautiful poem of Song of the Songs. We're going to move to another important question. Why is Advent a perfect time to read the Song of the Songs? And how can we relate as men and women to the idea of Christ as the bridegroom?
I think we've already talked a lot about why Advent is the perfect time. Because really, the Song of Songs is God's love letter to us in this promise that he was going to send the Messiah. And it gives us a beautiful picture of what it looks like when the Messiah comes. And how do we relate to this idea that we are brides of Christ? I think number one, we have to turn to Mother Mary as our model. Whether we are men or women, we are called to be like her in our relationship with God. We are called to assume that bridal posture in prayer, which in my mind, in my imagination, is the posture that she may have been in when the angel Gabriel came to her, that she opened her arms wide, looked up to heaven and said, "Yes, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word." And so we need to begin our days, male or female, in that bridal posture, saying once again to God, "I give you my yes. Come and fill me with your love so that I might incarnate your love, pure, authentic, real love in my world today. Whatever piece of the world you've given me to bring Christ to, I first need to receive him as Mary did. Receive the Holy Spirit so that then I can give birth to Christ in my life today." And so I think that's, if we come into the song, if we enter into the song with that perspective, that I am the bride who is seeking the bridegroom and longing to receive his love first and foremost, so his love can flow out into whatever other relationships he's called me to in my masculinity or my femininity, then we are the bride of Christ.
Laura, was interesting, very interesting. And hopefully in the future, we'll have more segments regarding this poem that is very rich and we can talk more in depth. But unfortunately, time runs fast away from us without our intentions. Now we're going to go away from the poem and we're going to ask you a general question. Now, in this season's greetings, what do you say your message to everybody that's watching from all around the world in all languages? What's your message today as we come closer to Christmas on this Christmas season?
Oh, my prayer for all of you watching all around the world is that this Christmas, you would truly reflect on the gift of the incarnation, the gift of God to us, that he became one like us, and that you would really receive him into your hearts, that you would use what's left of Advent to prepare your heart to truly receive Christ this year.
I have a question for you and then a prayer from the heart, a prayer to the Lord Jesus after what you said, a prayer that will take us and make us reflect more on the spirit of Christmas. The question is, what do you tell right now some young generations that are lost right now and the corruption and so many sins that we all fall in, but sometimes it's hard to come back. They don't feel that it's the time to come back. What do you tell these people that until now, they don't appreciate that Jesus Christ is there for them? And as you said in English, Jesus is coming personally for each one of us. they're lost. They don't know how important they are in the eyes of Christ. What do you tell them?
I tell them that he is mercy, that he came as a helpless babe. And, you know, when you think of Christmas this year, as you get ready to celebrate Christmas, find an image of the baby Jesus in Mother Mary's arms. This is your salvation. Yeah. This is your savior. This is the remedy to all that ails you and the fulfillment of all that you long and desire for. And first and foremost, he is love and mercy, mercy. The Israelites wandered away from God for centuries, for generations. He still came as a helpless babe to save them and fulfill his promises. We need not fear God. We need not fear him. He's mercy.
Let's conclude with a prayer. It's all yours. The Holy Trinity, the Heavenly Father, the only Son, begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray with you. You can share with us a prayer from the heart to the Holy Trinity to protect us and make us live the most of this Christmas in our lives.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this time that we have had to share the gift of your love and your mercy with others. And I ask you to just fill all the hearts of those who will watch this broadcast. Just fill their hearts, Lord, with a burning desire for you. For if we follow through on that desire, you will fulfill it. You will love us, heal us. And this Christmas, Lord, may you become incarnate in more and more hearts and lives. I just ask for the protection of the Holy Spirit upon all who will hear and see this. And my prayer goes out beyond that, Lord. You know that. My prayer is that all souls would come to know you and fall in love with you as their bridegroom, so that their hearts may be healed and that they might know true joy this Christmas, joy of knowing you. Mother Mary, I ask you to wrap us all in your mantle of comfort and protection. And as you always do and always will do, continue to lead us. Lead us to Jesus, your most precious Son. We ask all of this in your most holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
For more resources and our consecration to Christ the Bridegroom, visit hopesgarden.com, the sanctuary where the spousal love of Christ the Bridegroom heals hearts, marriages, and families. You may also want to join our community powered by Mighty Networks. Download the Mighty Networks app and find us at Hope's Garden.